Hey, it's Adrian Johnston, and you're listening to the Texas Toast Podcast.
Go ahead, put it on real tight. I hope you brought your best tonight. They say they got the fireworks, yeah, they say they got the show. And you're around the shoots, you're the best, so let's go.
This is Texas Toast. I'm your host, Miss Helen. Kick back and enjoy as we toast the best from Texas.
Cheers, everyone. Welcome to Texas Toast, where we, of course, toast the best from Texas. And I'm so excited to have Adrian Johnston joining us for this episode. Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Now that we finally made this happen, we had a little trip up the other day and then this morning, but I have so much to talk to you about because you don't let any grass grow under your feet, but let's kind of go back. I mean, you've had so many songs and singles that charted on the Texas country charts. You traveled, you did shows like Weekend and Week Out, and just great songs like Adult Beverages, Avalanche, Beer Don't Lie, Lone Star, some of my favorites. But let's talk about how I want to kind of introduce the audience in case they don't know how you started out. Of course, you're a native of Dallas and you were singing when you were young in high school, went to voice lessons.
Mm-hmm. I did. I grew up doing choir and sang in church. And I kind of convinced my parents to let me do voice lessons when I was in high school. And that's kind of when I got the bug of how you can potentially make this a career. You could play at the Opry's and you could get gigs that paid you money that you didn't have to sell out a stadium. And so in college, I would kind of sneak off on Friday nights, like before, like our date parties would happen, and I'd go play at an open mic night, or I'd go play at the local Opry. And then I would come back and, you know, you go out at 10 and 11 o'clock in college. So it yes. worked out perfectly. And so that's kind of how I got started. And then after college, I just really kind of just kept playing open mics and I would enter into contests. And then I got asked to play in a radio thing. And then I needed live music, my own original music. I was like, well, I've kind of written things in the past, but okay, let me give it a whirl. And then I needed a band. And then I don't know, it just kind of like, I say it naturally became what it is today, because I feel like sometimes if you force it, it doesn't really work out as nicely. And so I was just lucky enough to meet the right people at the right time. And I don't know, I say the rest is history, but that's honestly how we got started, was just the right timing.
Well, right. And speaking of open mics, I read where you did an open mic at Billy Bob's and that really opened a door for you.
Yeah. So Billy Bob's, this is a really funny thing. I don't think they do it anymore. It was a group called like Texas All-Star Country Music Review. You know, it was like the longest name possible. And they did these things on Tuesday nights, and you would literally bring a karaoke track and $10 and you would enter to like sing. And so I would bring all my friends, and it was like crowd participation votes. And I went to TCU, so we had a lot of Fort Worth friends. And if you won, you won the bucket of money and you got to like play again the next week. And so, but you got to like play a real song and bring a musician with you. So I was like, well, if I can get enough people to vote for me one time, then I can play my own stuff the next time. And so we just kind of like every Tuesday started doing this. It was like gas money. You make like $100 here and there. And it was just, it took like 3 minutes of your time to sing. So I feel like that was a pretty good bang for your buck back then.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. So that's how, you know, Billy Bob's was great. They've always showcased a lot of great opportunities for young artists to do things. And so even just getting that stage presence opportunity, a lot of people don't get, you know, you can play in a corner of a bar to nobody for years, but to be in front of us on a stage like a Billy Bob's and to really have to learn how to do that, that is very intimidating. And, you know, we were just lucky to be there. I was just like, hey, I'll buy everybody a beer if I win, because I'll have enough money to. So vote for me.
You are the best. You are that girl. I'm telling you. And so when you were going through and having a lot of your singles out, radio just loved you. I remember your singles coming to us. I think I even visited with you back in the day. And so you did a lot of radio touring also.
Oh yeah. I was on the road, man. I look back now, I don't think I could do a real radio tour again. I would just, it's exhausting, but I did. I think I visited, I would, this might be a little bold, but I think I've at least gone to 75 to 80% of the stations in Texas personally. And I just was on the road all the time. And then when my husband and I got together, we were dating. I was like, man, radio tour with a driver is so much easier. And he would just cart me around. And I mean, literally went to every station, but that's, you know, now it's so different. I feel like for new artists too, because of COVID and the pandemic and people really weren't able to go out and visit. But back then you had to go and shake hands, get your song on the radio. And, you know, I'm happy to do the hard work. And, it was really fun. And it was like, you got to go to the coolest little towns and then do a good gig. And then you'd spend the night at a cool little motel that they posted you at. It's like, you really got to see Texas in a whole different light than if you were to just go on like vacation somewhere. So I feel like I've seen every nook and cranny. When people say, oh, I'm from blah, blah, Texas, you've probably never heard of it. I'm like, actually,
yes.
Weird.
I know, because it was like, it was funny when the artists would come to our radio station, because we're so close to the coast. And it was like, oh my gosh, it was like, I think we drove to the end of Texas. Well, almost 20 more miles and you're going to hit the Gulf of Mexico. So yes, pretty much. So that's a good example. It's like, come on in. Everybody's welcome. Yes. Love that stuff. So you mentioned that you did get married, and let's talk about you and all the stuff that you did during the pandemic.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not only singer songwriter, but you have your other business, and we'll get into that. But I know that you did some recording during the pandemic, and I know it's out to streaming now, Where Are You Christmas? And then when you did that, which, by the way, your voice on that, chill bumps.
Thank you.
Like, it is, of course, your voice is amazing. And so then you recorded some other songs during that time.
We did. So we went down at the end of 2020 with the idea of, I went down to work with Ken Tondre, who's actually the husband of my really good girlfriend, Amy Rankin, who's twins with April.
Right.
And so I was like, Ken, what are y'all doing? We're bored. Like, we've been sitting at home for a year now. What if we do? I've never done a Christmas song. Let's do a Christmas song. Let's do a video. Girls, are y'all busy? Can y'all video it? It really was. We were bored. We've got to create something. And then once we got down there, the conversation of, hey, Ken, would you produce a record? I've been writing during 2020 with a bunch of different people, and I've got a bunch of songs ready. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. So what started as a Christmas song turned into us making probably 3 or 4 different trips down to Austin. And just, we recorded and we were able to really like take our time. Normally I go in and I already know exactly what I'm recording. I know what it's going to sound like. We go in and we do it all in one day. And this was really organic, and working with friends makes it a totally different experience. You know, Paul Eason came over and he played guitar and everything. And it was like,
yeah, hey, the whole gang there.
Yeah. I was like, Paul, hang out, call Bree. Let's all just hang out today. And then Clay Korn, he played on the Christmas song. He produced my very first song ever, Life Changes, like 100 years ago. And I'll never forget. I paid poor Clay. I paid him in like ones. I had like no money. I was like, Clay,
I love you.
This song, and here's like $1 bills. I look like a stripper, but it's fine. And him and his sister, Charla, is like one of my best friends. Now. So it was a really full circle moment to go in and record this album. But, we did. We went down and we just took our time, and I'll never forget that we went down. I think it was our second or third trip. And I was like, hey guys, I'm pregnant, and this is going to take a little longer than we expected. And so what we thought was going to be a really quick, like maybe a couple months adventure, ended up being almost 2 years to date to get it out.
Oh my goodness. That's amazing. Yeah. Cause I was going to ask you, at what point did the pregnancy? So you answered that question.
Hey guys, producer Kyle here. If you're looking for the perfect gift for the Texas music fan in your life, you've got to check out More Than Music Creations. More Than Music teams up with Texas bands and artists like Randy Rogers Band, The Wilder Blue, Pat Green, Bree Bagwell, and Jade Marie Patek to create unique handcrafted jewelry that's inspired by that artist's music and made with their own used guitar strings. A portion of each sale goes to giving kids in the Central Texas foster care system the gift of music through mentoring and private lessons. To check out the full collection of this one-of-a-kind jewelry, visit www.morethanmusiccreations.com. Now back to the show.
And let's talk about, let's go ahead and jump into that, Mom. Let's talk about your single trying right now. Let's talk about that.
Oh gosh. So trying, actually, I have the mentality of the best song should win, whether I wrote it or not. And so if you're looking at a record and you're missing a piece and somebody's song outbeats yours, like as it should be, it deserves to be on that album. And so Trying was a song that had been pitched to me back in, I want to say like 2015 or 2016, when I was doing my It Takes Time EP, maybe 2017. And at the time I was like, God, that's a cool song, but I don't know, I don't relate to it, you know, single, whatever.
Right.
And it came back up on the demo rotation one day.
Man.
We were hanging out in the studio and I was like, wait, guys, this actually could be my life right now. So I think that we should give this a whirl. And sure enough, after we recorded it, it was just a sure bet of, oh, it's perfect. It's cheeky. It's a great song. It's written by, I love Lacey Green. She's one of my favorite writers up in Nashville. I've written with her a few times. And, it was just cheeky enough and me enough and country enough that it fit the moment. And so now I get messages all the time like, God, Mom, I feel this so much. I was like, I know, me too. I'm so glad we waited for it to have its own moment. But it's been a great song for us. And it's different than anything I've really done in the mm-hmm. in the fact that it's very, I call it like the verbal song. Like it's very verbal. It's a lot of lyrics. It was really hard to record. Also, I was very pregnant, so that's probably why. But it is. It's just fun and it's so relatable. And it truly, there's some days where I have to sing it to myself to be like, okay, today's okay. Like this past week, I had the flu this week and I was home alone with the baby and my husband's at work. And I mean, our house is just a dumpster fire. It's, like, it's okay. Like, we're just trying. Like, it's going to be fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Trying to keep the bed made, meditate, stay awake, make a shake, because I'm watching my weight, running real late. Make rent, make friends, make ends meet. Look trendy, make them all envy. Read a book, watch the news, float like an angel and high. I'm trying to be the best version of whatever I am, trying to do better than the best I can. I'm trying, you know, barely getting by, taking all I got, trying to make it look like I'm not even trying. Ooh. Trying to get more rest, work more, drink less, to less for stress, I guess, if you say so. Get a tan, get a plan, get a man, get a minivan, two cute kids and some lipo. Raise hell, go to church, pray the good life don't kill me first. I'm trying, trying to be the best version of whatever I am, trying to do better than the best I can. I'm trying, trying.
So how is motherhood going? How was your pregnancy? I know you know, how did all that go for you? Was everything smooth and groovy?
Yeah. I mean, well, so pregnancy in itself, I feel like doesn't get as much, I don't know, I don't want to say recognition, but it is hard. It mm-hmm. is a hard thing. Whether you physically are fine, it is just still emotionally and mentally draining. I think what the hardest part for me was as you stated, like, I don't like grass growing on my feet. I don't sit still well. I don't, and I can't. And that was the hardest part because I did have to slow down. I had some gallbladder issues when I was pregnant, and we didn't know if I was going to have surgery while pregnant, which is really terrifying. Ended up having it right after he was born, which, hindsight, probably just as hard, but you know, you do what you do. And I wasn't good at sitting still. And, I had to say no to a lot of shows. And I think that's the hardest part, especially in the music industry. If you say no too many times, people stop asking because you are hard to get a hold of, or you aren't available, or, you know, hey, we'd love for you this gig, but we're not going to keep asking you when there's 10 other people ready to go. So I had a really hard time with that. I had to say no to a really great opportunity. I was asked to go on the road for like a week, and it was like, I want to say like 6 days and seven shows. All across Texas, and I would have been like 8 months pregnant. And I,
I know, right?
And
oh,
I was like,
no.
I looked at my husband. I was like, babe, I can do this. Like, if my mom comes and you drive, and we have a good hotel. And he looked at me, he goes, you are not Maren Morris playing the Houston Rodeo at 9 months pregnant on a private jet. Like, no.
It's not going on.
And I did. I had to say no, and it. It made me so sad that that part of my life has to be looked at differently. Now I have to prioritize it differently. So I kind of got a taste of that while I was pregnant. And now being a mom, it's the same idea of, okay, I can do that show, but I have to make sure I have childcare first. I can't commit to something until XYZ has been secured. Uh-huh. And two, I can't do it all the time. You know, that's just not fair to take a one-year-old on the road when dad's at home working, and we still need a family unit, and he still needs to see his dad every week. And I can't ask my parents to come with me on the road every time to babysit. And, you know, there's just like little nuances of, yes, I can do it, and it's still got to fit our lifestyle, or I've got to be able to make sure he's completely taken care of so that I can go do what I need to do. And so it's a juggling act, and I have not perfected it. It is nowhere close to being accurate yet. I need to call Jamie Lynn Wilson and be like, hey girl, how you doing this? Because I'm not.
Well, I think you're, just as long as you're still going to be putting out music, will you still be recording?
Yes. So we have that whole album is ready to go. Trying's just the first one off of it. So the hope and plan is to release that in the spring.
Awesome.
To go out on what I call would be a mini tour, because typically I would go on a tour forever, right? You go on and on. So maybe like 6 weeks of just a really intense tour, and you know, everybody's on board, like, come on, dad, you're taking off work, my parents are coming, like, you have to have the whole enchilada go,
load up everybody. Yep.
And so that's my plan, is to put that out in the spring and kind of see what happens with that. And then I know you mentioned the Christmas song. We did that song, but we never released it as a single anywhere on Spotify or anything. So I actually just uploaded it the other day. So any day now, it should be available.
It's on iTunes. It's on the iTunes.
Did it go on iTunes?
Yes. Listened to it.
Prepping. You're telling me before I even knew.
It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I'm glad. Thank you.
Yeah.
We never released it. So I was like, we have to at least this year.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Right? Where are you, Christmas?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Oh my God, your voice and your voice control on it. And that's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Oh, me too. It's the all-time favorite. It's the Grinch.
Yeah.
Faith Hill. Like,
I know, right? So, all right. So we're talking about all this music business here, situation. Mm-hmm. And then you're a businesswoman outside of music business. You have a boutique and an online store called Sheality. And I love seeing your stuff.
Thank you. We did. I just can't sit still, but we moved. So like you said earlier, I'm born and raised in Dallas. I've always lived in DFW. My husband and I met and he works in the oil and gas industry. And so when we got married, we had a house in Fort Worth and we had a house in East Texas and we went back and forth. And I was like, this is silly. We're both just like ships passing in the night. I could, at the time, you know, I can route from wherever for shows. Uh-huh. So why don't we need to pick a place and we need to like be married and live together and be a normal couple. So we agreed. And we moved out to East Texas where he could work and come home every night, basically. And so when we moved out here in December of 2018, I wasn't taking those Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, just kind of one-off gigs like I would in DFW, because there's plenty of those. And that's not the case out here. East Texas music community isn't like it is a DFW or an Austin or what have you. So, I was bored.
Of course.
I don't do bored very well. So I just started doing pop-ups of clothes. Because really, there's nowhere to shop. The nearest Target's 45 minutes away. So this does not work for me. So let's just bring some fashion and a little store here. And sure enough, pop-ups went great. People loved it. And I opened my brick and mortar in January of 2020.
Hello.
Horrible timing. But I will say, I think if it wasn't meant to be, it would have just totally crashed and burned. And instead, it was a great opportunity for it to flourish. And I had to sit at home and figure out how to put clothes online because I had nothing else to do. I wasn't at shows. So I did. I took that time to really allow it to be an online store. We did a lot of one-on-one shopping with people when there was like mask mandates and things like that. So people would just sign up for like an hour time slot and I would meet them at the store.
Nice.
And come shop for an hour. I was like, this is great. This is the way to have a store, like easy peasy, which it is not that way anymore. But, and then since then it's just grown and flourished and what I love about it now is it's self-sufficient. I've got girls that work there 24/7 and they run the online for me and they can fulfill orders. And then in the exciting part for me is I can look at my girlfriends in the music industry and say, hey, we're all going to the award show. Who needs a sparkly outfit? I got you. So it really, I feel like services both of my like passions in my worlds of we've been dressing on stage and putting
outfits
together. Mm-hmm. People are like, oh, a boutique. I'm like, yeah, but it really does fit what I've always done. And now I just get to pick what I'm buying and then I'm wearing, you know, it's like, I get to pick it that much earlier now. So it's been great. And it's doing really well. We've got some really exciting things happening actually for the store in 2023, that expands, but with music, it's going to be really cool. We'll probably announce it in January or February, but, yeah, it's been great. And it's had another little fulfillment. It's hard though. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah. It's just a lot to juggle, but that's what we love to do.
But that's what you love to do. You just, you know, you can't sit still. No. But I just love your visions. And I love the fact that, you know, you're such a leader in music and then having your own business and being a businesswoman and being in that particular situation. It just, you do it all, mama. Girl.
Hey, but we all do, right? Like you even look at, like I always go back to the Rankin twins, like they're running a huge photography and film business and they were on the road and they did kids music and then they became moms. It's like you have to find that balance. And, you know, I think some of us either can, you know, juggle it all or it's like all the balls fall. And I think if we don't help each other out and support each other's businesses and use each other for, you know, our gifts and talents outside of our music world, I think that, you know, we're just giving each other a disservice. So if we can just all look at that as a good thing versus a, oh, well, she doesn't just do music. I think I've gotten that a few times of, oh, so you're not doing the music thing as much anymore. It's like, well, no, I'm doing it as my life allows now, which is different, but that's not saying that it's not important to me and it's not my first passion and it's not, I would love to go on the road like I used to, but let's be really honest.
Being realistic, right? Yes, but you're still making things happen. And that's what's so awesome.
Yes. Trying. We're just trying.
Yeah. Well, you're succeeding. Beyond trying. Well, I guess we're going to go ahead and start kind of wrapping this up. Anything else you want to cover before we wrap it up and close out the interview?
Gosh, no, I don't think so. You guys have just been so great. And I appreciate too, just, I know I always say like I retired and then I kind of like, I'm coming back out of nowhere, but knowing that I can walk into an award show, like when I saw you at the TCMA.
Yes.
It's really refreshing to be like, oh, I wasn't forgotten.
Or no, like, never.
And a lot of people don't know who I am, which is fine. I'm not like trying. I never walk into a room and be like, okay, who doesn't know me? Like, that's but you do kind of, I walk into these things now going, okay, I know I've had a 10-year career and I know I've had great opportunities and I've done a really good job at what I've done, but that doesn't mean people know me now. And so it's almost like I'm having to re-explain myself again or reintroduce myself. And so to walk in and you were just so welcoming and warm. And I was like, oh, Helen, oh, yay. Like, yeah. It just makes me feel so validated in that, like, it's okay to still do this now in a new way. And don't feel like you've been forgotten. And same thing at the TRRRs back in the spring. I was like, oh, good. Some people remember me.
Well, you built such a strong foundation and that's what it's about. And you're just going to keep doing what you're doing. And I guess you'll probably add to it. I'm sure you'll have other stuff come along.
Oh,
but, but one last question before we close it out. If you were a cocktail, what would you be?
Oh my gosh, a cocktail. Okay. I'm a wine drinker, but I do like a good margarita, but like a little spicy, not super spicy because I get too sweaty.
Perfect. All right. Well, it's been so much fun visiting with you and looking forward to seeing you soon again and visiting and staying in touch as well. So thank you so much, Adrienne Johnston.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. Another great episode of Texas Toast. If you've made it this far, just wanted to say thank you to all of you who have been listening and spreading the word about us. If you'd like to support the show, whether it be through sponsorship or by subscribing on YouTube or by giving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, that'd be great. Anything and everything helps. We're just getting this thing rolling with no end in sight and have some incredible interviews lined up for all of you. So please help us get the word out. We'll see you next time on Texas Toast. I dare to say, well, you can go to hell. Hell, I'll go to Texas. I've had my fill of every place but home. Well, take away these city lights. Put me on a one-way flight. I'm leaving out of hell tonight. Just consider me gone. Of my southern draw, my swagger on my sway. Yeah, these old boots, oh, this cowboy.